DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
It has been a long time since we've had to do one of these kinds of shows. One of the best things about the job I get to do here at Dog Nation Daily is that, for the most part, it's happy content. Georgia's doing well in recruiting. Georgia's winning most of its games, and therefore, most of the time here, we come in here and we are in a very good mood. It's safe to say that Dog Nation is not in a good mood on this Monday, though, after a bad loss to LSU on Saturday. Really thorough domination in a lot of the sense, especially as the game kind of worn on. LSU did to Georgia what Georgia has done to so many other foes. LSU kept chopping and eventually chopped down the Bulldogs here. Now, over the course of the week, and listen, I don't look forward to this any more than you do, but over the course of the week, there is a lot we got to deal with. I thought that Kirby Smart probably made a coaching blunder or two during the game. I thought Kirby Smart probably went away from his running game a bit. I thought that the defense, the inability to stop the LSU run here is a real problem. And over the course of the week, we're going to have to deal with all of that. And we will do that. And then we'll look ahead to how Georgia's going to beat Florida next Saturday, because ultimately my confidence level hasn't changed in that game, despite the fact that Georgia didn't look on Saturday. So we've got a lot to do here over the course of the next 2 weeks. But off the top of the show, off the top of the week, after the LSU game, I think it's appropriate that we spend some time talking with the quarterbacks here. And the reason why we're going to talk about quarterbacks here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, is because that's what all of you are talking about. We had 3,500 comments on our Northside Hospital postgame show on Saturday night, and the lion's share of them were all related to Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. The message board, forum at forum.dognation.com, it's been red hot all Saturday night and throughout Sunday into this Monday morning, with debate going on about the quarterbacks. And ultimately, as I watch the fan conversation here, and our program's always going to reflect the conversation being had by fans, as I watch the fan conversation unfold, what I really believe is happening here is that there is a lack of trust right now from fans, not just Georgia fans, by the way, but fans in general, when it comes to their head coach and how their head coach talks about quarterbacks. Let's make this be about something beyond Georgia for a moment. Just the SEC in general, or maybe all of college football. If you look around the country right now, coaches, when they talk about quarterbacks, I would suggest that many of them lie all the time. Listen to our show during the spring and summer. Listen to us right before the various spring football games when so-and-so coach says, oh, our quarterback situation's wide open. We're nowhere near being able to name a starter. Yet many of the fans can ultimately predict who the starting quarterback is going to end up being, even though the coach says, we have no idea who our quarterback is going to be. Something about that just doesn't quite ring true for many of those fans. The same thing happens then in the late summer as well, right before the start of the season. No, our quarterback competition is going to go into the season here. Our quarterback competition is going to take us a couple weeks here to figure out, even though many fans often feel like they know who the quarterbacks end up being. The coach pretends otherwise, or seemingly pretends otherwise, and we know what that's about. In this day and age, it's about defending against the transfer. You don't name a starter before spring practice ends because the other quarterbacks are going to bolt. You don't name a starting quarterback right before the season begins because in the past, that's been a swinging gate for a quarterback to escape from the program. Therefore, it seems like a lot of coaches right now are not completely forthright when it comes to how they talk about their quarterbacks. Now, I would never pretend that Kirby Smart tells anything other than the absolute truth when he discusses his quarterback situation. But it was a year ago when Kirby Smart would tell us before the start of the 2017 season that Jacob Eason's the best guy right now, and Jake Fromm is a backup who's pushing him. And yet once the season began and Eason got hurt, Fromm came in, we saw Fromm do things as a freshman that we never saw Jacob Eason do the previous year, leading many to believe that Fromm had actually been the better of the two all along, even though he wasn't the starter at the beginning of the season. There is just a lack of trust right now on the part of many fans with coaches about how those coaches talk about the quarterbacks, which brings us back to Saturday in LSU. We saw Georgia lose, the offense mostly ineffective, and yet we saw Kirby Smart stick with Jake Fromm for most of the game, with the exception of a couple running plays that Justin Fields came in to execute there. And that's not the wrong decision as long as Jake Fromm is the better of the two quarterbacks. And let's face it, I'm not at practice every single day. You're not at practice every single day. There is a very good chance that is exactly how things are playing out at practice, that Fromm is just better than Justin Fields. And if Justin Fields had been in at quarterback in place of Jake Fromm, there is a very good chance that the offense would have worked even worse and would have sputtered even more than it seemed to have sputter on Saturday. But if you look at my Twitter mentions at Dog Nation Daily, if you look at the forum at forum.dognation.com, if you look at the comment section on this show probably right now as I do it, I can't see them, but if you look at the comments as I do this show right now, here's what I'm guessing. Some people don't necessarily take Kirby Smart at his word when he says, hey, right now Fromm's our best guy, and we only want to use Justin Fields sparingly for the occasional running play. There is just some growing skepticism among Georgia fans about that. And ultimately what ends up happening is it ends up being unfair to both guys. Because ultimately what I believe is going on here is that Kirby Smart, like a lot of other coaches, is just maybe guilty of being a little too cute with his quarterbacks here, a little too cute in how he inserts Justin Fields. It's confusing to fans. I would suggest it's maybe even confusing to some players when Fields comes in for just one play and then darts back out of the game. Either play him or don't play him at all, but the sparing, pick your spots type stuff is the kind of thing that seems destined not to work. It seems to injure the rhythm of both quarterbacks, at least potentially. And for Jake Fromm, when Kirby Smart doesn't say more about the situation than he does, I think it raises some doubts about from Georgia fans about who Fromm is as a quarterback, despite the fact that he's led Georgia to great success in the past, because they're just not sure we're getting the whole story from Smart about what's truly going on with Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. I mean, the overall bottom line of what you hear from a lot of Georgia fans is, in a game in which the Georgia offense was sputtering, it would have been nice to see Justin Fields attempt to pass to see if the passing numbers would have gone up. Now, ultimately, the bigger issues for Georgia offensively may have been what looked to be an abandonment of the running game, especially Elijah Holyfield, who seemed to be a red-hot running back on Saturday. And maybe, to a certain extent, I know the SEC Network talked about some of the wide receivers not creating enough separation. That may be true as well. But for some Georgia fans, it becomes a bottom line of, it would have been nice to see Fields get a chance to throw some passes, given the fact that, for the most part, the Georgia offense was having a hard time getting going. I guess I kind of understand where that's coming from to a certain extent. Had Fields gotten a chance to throw, gotten a chance to show what he was capable of doing against that LSU defense, it's certainly true that the offense, or I should say the conversation here this week, would be very different. As opposed to wondering what Fields would have done, we would have had some evidence one way or another, which in a way would have been more fair to Jake Fromm. But ultimately, I think my role here, once again, to the extent that I have any influence with the microphone that I speak into, is to encourage Georgia fans to not allow this thing to turn into some nasty situation here. Because there is still plenty for Georgia to play for throughout the rest of the season. I know it seems sort of trite and hollow to say this right now, but the goals that Georgia has are all still intact. And achieving those goals is, once again, probably going to require some combination of both these quarterbacks before the season's done. Yes, Jake Fromm did not have a great day on Saturday. I think even Jake Fromm would be the first to admit that. But I think we also need to give credit to Fromm and what he has done for many games leading up to what happened on Saturday. And yes, Justin Fields is a dazzling, thrilling quarterback prospect. And it's easy to understand why Georgia fans are enticed into wanting to see more from him because of what he's likely to do in his Georgia career before it's all said and done. And it's a complicated situation right now when you've got both these guys at the same time. Kirby Smart is facing a choice. And I think my point here is he can no longer pretend it's a choice that he doesn't have to make. Choosing to play one guy now means choosing to sit the other. And I hope as we head towards the Florida game coming up next Saturday, that Kirby Smart, Jim Chaney, and the quarterback's coach, James Cola, get very deliberate in the choice that they need to make. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Hello to you. Good to have you with us. Whether you're live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, Dog Nation YouTube. I know we had some YouTube issues over the weekend, but looks like those have all been taken care of. Our staff working very hard to get those cleared up, and now we're live there on a video on YouTube once again as well. And on the Twitter feed, also radio at noon, Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rep, and in podcast form, wherever podcasts can be found, the Apple Podcast Player, the world-famous DogNation.com. We are just glad you're with us here on the program today. Obviously, a lot to get to. I'm going to get Kirby Smart in a moment talking about both Jake Fromm and Justin Fields, and we'll see how fans react to what Kirby Smart had to say about both these guys coming off the game on Saturday. We'll have Chip Towers later on. He'll talk about a lot of this kind of stuff as well. And I'll remind you, the Dog Nation Daily is brought to you by our friends at Marco's Pizza. And listen, if you're like me, you're tired last night getting back in from Louisiana. You just want to sit around with your family, hadn't seen them in a few days, and curl up on the couch. Little Marco's Pizza, no better way to do that than two medium, two topping pizzas for $6.99 each. It's every store, every day, the Italian way. Say hello, Primo. Our team may not always win, but Marco's Pizza always delivers with a great tasting pizza at a great price. We appreciate Marco's Pizza being a part of a Dog Nation Daily here today. And as we transition here, I want to go around the doghouse. And it's obviously on Mondays, presented to you by Pella Window and Door. And I want to keep the quarterback conversation going because, you know, listen, Kirby Smart's going to face some tough questions about this, and he's going to have some doubters among the fan base here. Quarterbacking in 2018 is just a complicated scenario. We see, you know, Kelly Bryant leave Clemson during the season. We see it get a little ugly between Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa at Alabama around the time the season was starting there, with some of the things that Hurts had said, some of the things that the Tagovailoa family said during the offseason probably didn't help that as well. I heard from some Alabama fans over the weekend that said, ah, B.A., you said for a long time that Georgia was lucky because its quarterback situation wasn't as nasty as Alabama's is. How do you feel about that now? Well, listen, I still feel like that the Georgia situation is going to probably work out just fine, and I feel like there's still a role for both Jake Fromm, who will have better games for most of the rest of the season than what he probably showed against LSU, and Justin Fields, who's probably going to keep growing into a role that's going to one day make him a very exciting quarterback at the University of Georgia. When you talk to Georgia fans away from message boards and away from social media, the overwhelming message that you hear is that fans are excited about both these quarterbacks. It's important not to lose sight of that, but it's also important to evaluate what went wrong for Georgia in a loss to LSU on Saturday, and part of that does involve the quarterbacks. And for Justin Fields, he came in for some running plays, but really not much more than that. What gives with that? Why was it that that's all we saw from Fields on Saturday? Kirby Smart did address that after the game. Here is Smart on Fields.
It's easy to sit back and say and second guess at this time, but at the time we felt like that gave us a spark with some of those runs that he does, and he's continuing to grow. Look, there's no fear in letting Justin go in the game and play quarterback and throw the ball, but at the same time, we got to give ourselves the best opportunity to win, and those are the decisions we have to make as offensive coordinator and head coach.
So right now, if you take Kirby Smart at his word on that, the throwing plays, Fromm is the one that gives Georgia the best opportunity to win. And when you need the extra dimension with the legs, that's when you need Justin Fields. What's complicating about that is that all of a sudden now DeAndre Swift looks healthier. And he, when running the football on Saturday, looked pretty impressive. Elijah Holyfield didn't get enough carries probably, but when he was running the football, he also looked pretty impressive. So it's not like it was a couple of weeks ago when you thought you needed the dynamic of Fields' legs just to move the ball on the ground. That's not necessarily the case anymore. And it's also, at least for this one game, not like it's been for most of the season, where the passing game was in good hands with Jake Fromm. It wasn't as good a day for Fromm throwing the football on Saturday, which is one of the reasons why you're going to hear some questions on that. But on the issue of Fromm, Kirby was very clear to point out that when it comes to the sputtering offense, even the sputtering passing game, maybe it's not fully Fromm to blame here. Here's a little bit more from Kirby Smart.
All the struggles weren't his. There's some of those. He made some third down throws that I thought were really good. And then there's some couple times he ends up getting a sack that he's got to make a decision to get rid of the ball. But we don't run the right route on one of them. He's looking for a route, and they don't run that route. There's miscommunication between them. So it's easy to sit back and second guess and say this and that. But at the end of the day, we got to make good decisions, and we got to play the guy who gets the best chance to win. And we'll continue to do that. Both those guys are going to continue to get better. They're good football players.
I mean, listen, had I been the coach for Georgia on Saturday, that's a tough spot to be in. I believe I probably, especially in the second half, would have looked to Justin Fields to see if he could have given Georgia a little bit more of a spark for that game. Doesn't mean you're making a switch at quarterback necessarily, because if I'm Kirby Smart, I still need Jake Fromm. I think big throws this season are still yet to be made by Fromm. But in that game, with the LSU defense doing what it was doing, that might have been a good spot for Justin Fields to attempt more than just the running plays that we've seen him do. It's going to be a hot topic here over the course of the next couple of weeks, and obviously we'll look forward to seeing how this situation gets resolved by the time we get to Florida 2 Saturdays from now, and I'm sure part of that will also be just another performance from Jake Fromm the way we've come to expect. So complicated situation as we go around the doghouse here on Mondays, brought to you by Pella Window and Door. And speaking of Pella Windows and Door, they can help you equip your house with energy-efficient windows and doors. They're family-owned and operated with a branch right here in Georgia, which means you get local service backed by a national company. Also a great offer right now. 50% off qualifying installations or 0% APR for 48 months. It's valid through November the 8th. Pella offers the best lifetime warranty with top-of-the-line equipment and unparalleled expertise. You can schedule your free home consultation a couple of ways. Hitting them up online at PellaSoutheast.us. That's PellaSoutheast.us. Or calling their Dunwoody showroom at 404-445-2979. Once again, 404-445-2979. Great to have Pella Window and Door as part of Dog Nation Daily here today. All right, we're going to deal more later on in the program with the Georgia running game and why, you know, Kirby Smart says it wasn't abandoned, but the numbers may say something slightly different on that, and how maybe if the running game had been utilized more, maybe the issue with the quarterbacks isn't quite so significant. We'll deal with that a little bit later on. Also want to get ready to roll with Chip Towers right now. His thoughts on the quarterbacks and everything else still yet to come. It's great to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. And hope you enjoy Chip Towers right now.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
Busy travel day for Chip Towers coming back from Louisiana after being there for the LSU game on Saturday. We appreciate him joining us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. Chip, thanks for your time. Hope you're not too bleary-eyed here coming off the weekend, but it's good to have you back with us on the program here today.
Yeah, great to be back in the ATL. A lot of Georgia fans on the flight I was in, you know, there was a 6 a.m. flight, 7 a.m. flight this morning. A lot of Bulldog fans did like I did and spent another day in New Orleans on Sunday. It was beautiful. It's like they used to say, you know, the sun came up. It was not a great game. Georgia didn't play well, and I thought LSU played very well. You know, I think at the end of the day, what you were just talking about is true. You know, Georgia has a lot of things they can fix, but it's definitely everything is still in front of them. And sometimes these things are good. Interesting thing, and I'm certainly not saying that the 2018 Georgia Bulldogs are the 1985 Chicago Bears, but I was just watching a documentary about the 85 Bears, and remember they lost at Miami in the middle of that season, and they were the most dominant team in football. And obviously we saw what happened at Auburn last year. I thought this was very similar to what happened last year, but it's all about what you do going forward. And I think there's some important things that Georgia has to get recalibrated at this point, but it's a good time for it. An off week, 2 weeks to work on it before you get down to Jacksonville. And certainly they've got a long laundry list of things to tighten up and get squared away before they get down there.
So let's talk about some of those things right now. And I want to start with quarterbacks, not because it's Georgia's only issue. There's, I guess, a line of thought that it's not Georgia's most significant issue even, but it is the issue that most people are talking about right now, Chip. And I want to reflect the fan conversation on our program here. And the point that I made before you joined us today is that for a lot of fans, they're not just going to take Kirby Smart at his word when Fields doesn't attempt to pass, attempts all the passes that were made in the game and for the most part did not have among his most successful games in a Georgia uniform. A lot of fans are going to say, why didn't Fields get more of a chance? And the absence of Fields is not necessarily proof for them that Fromm is clearly the right guy for the job there. What would you say to the Georgia fans who, in a game in which the offense was really sputtering, and some of that at least can be put on the quarterback, what do you say to the fans about not seeing more of Justin Fields in a throwing capacity on Saturday?
Well, this is where you're left to trust your coaches, you know, and so a lot of times it's hard to tell what's rhetoric and what's narrative and what's the absolute truth. So we don't know, you know, we're not in the quarterback room with James Coley. We're not in the offensive room with James Coley and Jim Chaney. But from what I'm seeing, you know, the message is very clear to me that Justin Fields is not ready to come in there and run the entire offense. Because if you ever had a scenario where you needed to change up, and if you'd have made a change in that game, I wouldn't have said it was necessarily a change into the guard, meaning that Justin Fields is going to take over from now on. But Jake Fromm just didn't have it. And, we saw that right out of the gate. I mean, I think lost in this whole game, certainly everything got overshadowed by the botched fake field goal. But, you know, Jake was struggling early on just with accuracy for whatever reason. You know, you got a wide open Mecole Hardman running down the left sideline. You got to hit that shot. And then even the one that Demetrius Robertson should have had, you know, that's a wide open play on the sideline, you know. So there's like pitchers, like hitters, like 3-point shooters in basketball. You just don't have it all the time. So the fact that they didn't go to Justin Fields in that situation tells me one of two things. Number one, he's not capable of running the offense that Georgia needed to run against LSU in that scenario. Or B, they just didn't want to throw him into what was obviously, we all know, we were all there, Brandon. Tiger Stadium's a tough place, so you're protecting his psyche or what have you. But either one of them, I don't feel like are good answers. I mean, I think Justin Fields is here for a reason. Whatever amount of offense that he has mastered, then that's the amount that you give to him during a game scenario. But I thought Georgia needed anything, any kind of spark, and whether it be Justin Fields or doing, you know, or moving Terry Godwin into a wild dog situation, just something, because what you were doing wasn't working.
Let me play devil's advocate just for 1 minute, because, I mean, I think there's obviously some validity to what you're saying there, but we also saw a scenario in 2017 where, you know, I think that Jake Fromm as a freshman quarterback was just, from the moment he started playing, better than Jacob Eason. Eason, though, was going to apparently be the starter, and Kirby Smart was content to go with him, despite the fact that once Fromm started playing, we saw him do things that Eason had never done in his freshman season of 2016. It almost seems like the better quarterback was destined to start the season on the bench. Now, I wouldn't pretend that the same thing's true between Fromm and Fields, because admittedly, I don't know. But I think the issue, like what we saw with Fromm and Eason a year ago, maybe even some of what we've seen with Jalen Hurts and Tua Tagovailoa, where Tagovailoa was always better than Jalen Hurts, and yet Saban was seemingly sticking with Hurts to, I guess, keep from rocking the boat or whatever reason. I just think a lot of that has added to a level of skepticism for fans, and Chip, it ends up being unfair to Jake Fromm. He truly may be the better of these two quarterbacks, but I don't think that everyone's just going to, you said, trust the coaches. Unfortunately for a lot of fans, I don't know that they're necessarily just going to do that because of the way we've seen coaches around the SEC handle quarterbacks recently.
Yeah, that's what it is. And you got to believe Kirby at his word, which is he's saying he handles quarterbacks just like every other position, whether it be left guard or outside linebacker, which is it doesn't matter what year you are or what you've done before, the best players are going to play. And so that's why, you know, that's what he's saying. So, I have to believe that Jake Fromm is the best quarterback, in all realms of that. You wouldn't think that politics certainly would play in this. And I know Kirby well enough to know that, you know, it's not just simply a seniority thing.
Sure.
He's the sophomore, you're the freshman, so he gets the right to do it. You know, at the bottom line, it all comes about being able to operate the offense at the level they feel like they have to do it. And, I've talked to different coaches that feel differently about that. You know, some coaches say you got to play the best athlete or best player, no matter, you know, what scenario. You just feed him whatever level of offense that he can handle. But, you know, let me just say that. I mean, what they're doing isn't working, I don't think, on any level. Maybe it is. Maybe in the long run when we finally see Justin Fields come in and play, a full series first, maybe, or a full set of downs, and then maybe a full quarter, or eventually start, we'll see that this was the right way to handle the situation. But right now, I don't think Justin Fields is building any confidence. I think Jake Fromm may be playing a little bit tight right now. The plan is, there is no plan, is a bad plan, in my opinion. They need to have a plan, and I think it needs to be plain for everybody to see, those two quarterbacks, not the least of them.
Yeah, I think that's a really fair point. Let me turn to another subject, because obviously there's a lot more stuff coming off the LSU game than just quarterbacks, and I thought your piece of DogNation.com about what seemingly was an abandoned running game on Saturday was very well written, and I know that Kirby Smart, you know, took a different tack with some of his post-game comments, saying they didn't go away from Elijah Holyfield. They didn't go away from the running game. But, Chip, as you point out, the numbers don't exactly back that up, do they? It certainly seems like Georgia left a lot out there on the field on Saturday, because Elijah Holyfield was gashing people, didn't get enough carries for many Georgia fans' taste. You could probably say the same thing about DeAndre Swift as well.
Yeah, both of them. And, you know, in my opinion, when you're averaging 8 yards carry, and you get 7 carries, you're not getting it enough. You know, you're just not getting it enough. That's all it was. And look, it's just the eye test. I mean, you know, sometimes I think coaches like to hide behind, their knowledge of what's being called and their knowledge of the game. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's not rocket science. And, I mean, it was pretty easy to tell in the game and then to verify on the play sheet that, you know, after that series where the fake field goal ends with no point, you know, Georgia came out and ran three straight passes, you know, on the next time, 1, 2, 3, and out. Now, they did run the ball a couple of times, and I understand that LSU, you know, made some adjustments. But you make some adjustments as well. The battles that were getting won in that first quarter, you know, weren't getting attempted anymore after that, because even the runs that you saw, I mean, the last offensive series when Georgia had the ball at 38 was the most telling to me. You know, number one, neither Elijah Holyfield or DeAndre Swift was in the game, and you started it out with the jet sweep and then a kind of a what I thought was a bit of a pitiful zone read play. You know, the zone read can only be effective when it's being read, not just always handed. And so I thought that was a weak play. And then you had the nine-yard sack. That was just a pitiful display at a pivotal moment. And I thought they got away from who they were. And I think they're going to bear that out in film study and either recommit to that or either defend their position later on. But I just thought they definitely got away from who they were, especially when we hear that so often from Kirby Smart.
And then on the issue of the fake field goal, and listen, Chip, I know how this sounds. Everything when it's, you know, critical on something like this all just sounds like the worst kind of Monday morning quarterbacking. It's obviously a bad play call if it doesn't work. But I promise you, you know, over the course of the years here on this program, we've talked about my distaste for trick plays, for, you know, for a trickeration like that. Georgia's got like 50 4- and 5-star skill position players. I think they're the ones that should be carrying the football. Rodrigo Blankenship's a very good kicker. That's not really the role that I want him in. Chip, I think fake field goals are great for 21-point underdogs. I don't know that they're a great thing for an 8-point favorite or a 6.5-point favorite on the road that fashions itself a national championship contender. That reeked of desperation for me. I just didn't like it. It's going to come across as Monday morning quarterbacking here, and hindsight being 2020, but so be it. I just thought it was the wrong decision.
Yeah, no, you're right. I mean, there was the strategic failure of it, and there was the psychological failure of it. I thought the message was terrible. Now, you know, I mean, certainly if it works and Rodrigo runs in there and everybody's excited, it's like Refrigerator Perry running in for a touchdown or catching a touchdown pass or something, and everybody's happy because Rodrigo is a beloved kid. That was 3rd and 9. So that you're asking an awful lot of a very, not to mention the fact that, you know, he could have gotten hurt on that play. You know, so I didn't like it on any level whatsoever. I said it at that moment. I knew exactly what Kirby was going to say. You know, we saw it on film. You know, here's the thing. You see stuff on film every week. I mean, there's a tendency in every game to possibly have a successful onside kick, especially early in the game, because teams tend to bail off the line of scrimmage on a kickoff. Does that mean you should onside kick on the first kick of a game? You know, no, I don't think so. And then it just, you know, the ultimate irony to me was both Kirby Smart and Rodrigo Blankenship said we were trying to create momentum. Well, you did, but you created momentum for the opposing team. And you could feel it in there in the moment, and you could tell it right away. That gave LSU life and made them believe, hey, look, they think they're going to be desperate against this. But then you talked about this, you touched on this too, Brandon. There were a lot of other issues. There's a 12-play, 84-yard drive that followed that.
Yeah.
And, you know, so your defense has an opportunity to stop them. It's completely within the rules of football to do that. They were unable to do that. So I'm not losing sight of that, but yeah, I agree with you. It was a terrible call. I don't care what your film study told you.
Let me move ahead to one final thing before we get ready to let you go here. You know, Georgia's obviously got a week off, and then it's Florida coming up after that. You know, where does this team go from here now? I guess give us an idea of what the next week looks like here. You know, what's the typical, you know, cadence of a bye week and how the team will go about its practice here, how it treats some of its wounds here, heading towards a Florida game on the following Saturday, and just kind of the outlook for how the rest of the season can be better than what Georgia fans had to endure in Death Valley on Saturday.
Well, typically the biggest thing on an off week is what we're dealing with today and yesterday, because really during the season, Sundays and Mondays aren't really true off days for football teams, and obviously Monday is usually a very busy day. I would imagine these players have been asked not even to to enter the football complex. Now, there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes, I'm sure, with Georgia's considerable support staff and with the coaching staff, you know, to get ahead on Florida and to get that game plan ready to go. But the biggest thing about an off week this time of year is that you got to get healthy. And Georgia is a beat-up team, so I think they'll go pretty light when they finally get back on the field tomorrow, and then it'll be a fundamental thing. They always get back to fundamentals during that week, and Kirby talked a lot about all the missed tackles in that game. So I would imagine you would look at a couple of pretty physical practices on Wednesday and Thursday, and then they probably go light again to get their legs back under them. I think it's coming at a perfect time. I've said this all along. About Georgia's schedule, about the setup of the schedule. I did not expect them to lose this game. I expected them to cover, and I'm not convinced that LSU is the better team. I mean, it's just like the Auburn game last year. Sometimes an environment and a situation can sort of exaggerate circumstances, but, the reality is Georgia's still got everything in front of it. All that is true, and, psychologically, they've got to get back to believing in what they were doing, and really, this whole quarterback deal and some of the things that we've seen on defense. I think Georgia's got to figure out who they are, and if they are going to be tougher than everybody, then you need to play that way.
Yeah, Chip, I think it's really well said. We'll look forward to reading a bunch from you here at DogNation.com. Thanks for making time for us on the program today, and obviously, we'll let you go for now, but catch up with you again very soon.
All right, thank you, buddy.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Good stuff from Chip Towers. Obviously, there are better days to come here for UGA, but the immediate aftermath of the game against LSU is not great. A lot of it involves things other than quarterbacks, and it's good to get some thoughts from Chip on that. One of the things we didn't get into with Chip there, that we'll obviously do some over the course of the week, is Chip mentioned issues with the defense, unable to stop the run. That's something you've got to talk a lot about here. It's a pretty significant issue for a UGA, and how you correct that going into what's left for the rest of the season is definitely something worth paying attention to here. For now, though, let me talk about some of the other games around the SEC on Saturday. You may have missed it, given whether you were coming back from Louisiana or just too sad after the game to check on the other scores. But it was a pretty interesting weekend here in the SEC. Florida beats Vanderbilt 37-27. But at one point in this game, Florida was down 21-3 to the Commodores here. Now, Florida has not played well against Vanderbilt in a while here. But, this is where I'm going to pump the brakes on the narrative of, Florida's way better than everybody thought, and now Georgia's vulnerable. They just lost to a team that lost to Florida. Cocktail party is going to be back to the way it was before 2017. I'm not ready to say that yet. I'm not ready to go there. I'm in just as lousy a mood right now as any of you are. But my overall thoughts on the cocktail party, my overall thoughts on Florida this year just has not changed very much. This is still a matchup that I expect Georgia to play much better in. Playing in Jacksonville in the cocktail party in that environment is just going to be a lot different than what it is in Death Valley. And listen, there were 20,000 Georgia fans probably in Death Valley on Saturday. But 20,000 in that spot is still not enough to take away the hostile nature of that crowd. Georgia fans took over an opposing SEC stadium about as well as anybody ever can. But, LSU fans are just not going to lay down and die the way that Notre Dame fans will. It's just a different kind of thing. Georgia was still on the road on Saturday despite the early going. And as Chip said, once the fake field goal got botched, then, it definitely started feeling a little bit more like a Death Valley. If Georgia gets the early momentum there, maybe that changes. But as it stood, Georgia was in a tough road environment on Saturday. The cocktail party is not going to be that way. Florida beating LSU in Gainesville is not the same thing as beating them in Baton Rouge either. 37-27 for Florida against Vanderbilt. I think you see a lot for Georgia there to potentially feast on with the Gators. It's also kind of funny to see the weird scenario with Derek Mason, the Vanderbilt coach, and Dan Mullen and Todd Grantham, the Florida coaches, almost getting into it. I mean, Grantham is such a clown. I mean, his look and demeanor on the sidelines is so unprofessional. The day he was gone from Georgia, for me, was a very good day indeed. There's no doubt that he knows football. I mean, this is a guy who obviously knows intricate defenses. He's smart there in that regard. But his Bush League behavior on the sidelines, I mean, Florida can have it for all I'm concerned. Another game, by the way, in the SEC that I thought was really interesting was Tennessee beating Auburn. Y'all, Auburn is not good. And I like to give my opinions on the rest of the SEC. I love hearing your opinions. I like getting ribbed by y'all when I'm wrong. Boy, I could not have turned out to be more wrong about Auburn this season. I thought that Auburn was not as good as Alabama, but way better than everybody else in the SEC West. And as it turns out right now, they may actually be down there with Arkansas at the very bottom of this division right now. They're only like a two-point favorite over Ole Miss on Saturday, which is seemingly inexplicable. Tennessee gets its first SEC win since 2016, and all of a sudden there's some folks in Knoxville feeling very good about Jeremy Pruitt. They probably should. That's a pretty good job there. To me, this is more of a story about how bad Auburn is than how good Tennessee is. But there's no doubt that there's some excitement around the Tennessee program. And, you know, Georgia got that win in 2016 when it also beat Auburn, I guess. That came in the month of November. And some of that, it only takes a little bit to make potential recruits and fans be a believer in your program. It's going to probably still be a challenging season for Tennessee the rest of the way. But that one win at Auburn is that, hey, look at us. We haven't won an SEC game around here for a while. And look what we just did at Auburn. It's enough to make Vols fans believers here. And it was a nice night for Jeremy Pruitt. It'd be interesting to see how that program builds on that from there. Few other stories to get to really quickly here. Alabama beat Missouri on Saturday, 39-10. It's funny. The Vegas folks, I mean, they just know what they're doing. Bama was a 28-point favorite, covered by a point after a week before that, failing to cover against Arkansas by a point, but always landing somewhere right around the number there. Tua Tagovailoa, though, leaves this game, does not return with a knee injury. That's probably worth watching. Saban said that he could have put him back in the game, just didn't want to. But obviously with Tennessee looming here this week and then LSU coming up after that on November 3rd, Tua Tagovailoa's health is definitely going to be something paid attention to. And then two other games to get to here really quickly. Texas A&M beat South Carolina 26-23. Now, I don't do a lot of scoreboard watching in terms of how the teams that Georgia beat, how they do. I think your resume is ultimately determined by the games you win and not the games your opponents win. You know, no matter what the ESPN folks say, it's really about what you do more so than what your schedule does. And yet, it's still hard to ignore that when Georgia beat South Carolina in Columbia, that felt like a very good, very significant win. It's still a tough spot to go on the road and dominate that game as well as Georgia did. But South Carolina, for the most part, has not been very good since then. And, you know, honesty compels you to admit it here. Another loss for the Gamecocks against Texas A&M. The way the season's gone, that's not necessarily a surprise, but before the season started, that's a game that a lot of South Carolina fans would have thought they had a chance to win here. But South Carolina is no better than an average team right now, and Georgia's still looking for that win that validates itself nationally. Ole Miss beats Arkansas 37-33. Ole Miss is not very good, but they are fun to watch, and they'll be a real challenge for Auburn on Saturday. We'll make that your SEC through. And here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, it's also time to turn our attention back to the dogs here for a moment. Let's do so by awarding our R.S. Andrews Cool Under Pressure Performer of the Week. For Georgia on Saturday, you know, listen, a losing effort. Sort of hard to know which direction you go here, but I'm going to give mine to Elijah Holyfield. 7 carries, 56 yards, a touchdown for UGA there, and a guy that I think most of us thought should have been in the game and involved in the offense a little bit more than he was on Saturday. You know, after the game, Kirby Smart kind of pushed back on some of that criticism, the numbers that I just gave from Holyfield. Could he have even been cooler under pressure with more carries? Kirby Smart says that's sort of easy to say after the fact.
I think that's every couch quarterback's. You can go back and say anything. I mean, what should you have done? Well, you should have scored more points. At the end of the day, we were trying to move the ball, trying to do things. I mean, we were running the ball effectively at times. You know, we just did not sustain drives. And we had a drought in the second quarter where we didn't get a whole lot going.
Yes, I didn't get a whole lot going, had a drought going there. But on the idea of, you know, it's only couch quarterbacking to say that that Holyfield should have gotten more carries. It seems like a lot of Georgia fans, maybe even Chip Towers, we heard from a moment ago, just not quite on the same page with Kirby Smart on this. Either his vantage point of what Georgia was trying to do offensively or just his memory on this is very different from Georgia fans, because it doesn't sound like Kirby Smart thinks they actually went away from Holyfield. Here he is explaining a little bit of that more.
We didn't go away from it. Actually, we went right back to it, and it didn't work. So when we were in four open sets and we were running the ball really well, and we drove down there, then we faked the field goal and didn't get it. We kind of stayed with that. The next drive, we went back to it. They changed some things up, and it wasn't working as well, so we went back to 12 personnel and ran the ball a couple times for 7-8 yards in that. And we thought in the big personnel, we had a chance to hit some play actions, which we did hit some. But when we went back to the package that we just rolled the ball down the field with those guys running, it wasn't there. We weren't getting the same movement. They were making the ball bounce out. We didn't have as much production in it. But that's the first thing I was saying. Let's go back to what worked earlier.
I mean, listen, admittedly, I think stuff like this is probably pretty frustrating for Kirby Smart. He clearly knows a lot more about football than I do. And I'm sure he would listen in on this conversation and say, who are you to criticize me for this play calling? Because he obviously understands the package of plays they're sending to Fromm, and the way that defense is being read determines which plays actually executed on the field. I get all of that. I'm going to be guilty of oversimplifying this. But when you see a guy averaging 6 yards a carry only get 12 carries, I just think it's elementary to say he should have gotten more. I don't think you have to know as much about football as Kirby Smart does to make that determination about that there in that spot. So Elijah Holyfield's our R.S. Andrews cool under pressure performer of the week, and probably should have got a little more chance to perform under pressure against the LSU Tigers on Saturday. But speaking of R.S. Andrews, it was great to have our buddy Dari there from R.S. Andrews as a part of Dog Nation Invasion this past weekend. And of course, for a lot of us, that was a great experience. Really a lot of VIP treatment type stuff, you know, eating at good restaurants, having a great time at the tailgate there at a walk-ons that day. And if you want that same kind of treatment, it's one of the reasons why you want to turn to R.S. Andrews. That best seats in the house, VIP treatment type feeling, R.S. Andrews gives you that when you get the $99 furnace checkup from our friends there. It's all the coverage that you need to keep your furnace safe and running all throughout the cool season coming up here, including your heat exchanger. They'll check for leaks. They'll check the filters, the flue, the vents. It's all of that. R.S. Andrews gets your system to factory fresh specs, and it's just $99. You can get that great seats feeling now by getting a fall furnace checkup from the ones that we trust, R.S. Andrews, online at rsandrews.com. And speaking of R.S. Andrews there, huge thanks. And, you know, at a certain point in time this week, we're going to talk more about what a fun weekend it was leading up to the game. It's really a time that I'll never forget, seeing so many Georgia fans in New Orleans. I know that Archie Manning texted Brad Nessler from CBS Sports before Saturday to say, Brad, the entire city of New Orleans has been painted red and black. And it was a really cool thing to be a part of that with R.S. Andrews, with our friends from Skyland Brookhaven, and, of course, Berkshire Hathaway Realty. And obviously, you know, Marlowe's and Kroger, our sponsors, made that such a great weekend. And we're obviously going to look back on that, show you some of the great photos and videos that we captured of Georgia fans just taking over New Orleans. That was a blast. Today may not be the day to do that, because today was a day to think back on the LSU game. But in the future, we'll look ahead, including 12 days from right now, Gatorator Countdown. Dogs are beating Florida, so get ready to buckle your chin straps and get ready for the cocktail party. We'll see you tomorrow on Dog Nation Daily.